Hi there, you're very welcome along to the GR with me, Darren O'Sullivan. I'm delighted to be joined today by Lee Costello and Niall McIntyre. Unfortunately, we'll be starting off today's show on a very sad note with the untimely passing of Kerryman Liam Kearns. Liam had a very successful footballing career playing and managing, and in recent times was managing Offaly, and had a great career managing Limerick, Laois, Tipperary, famously to the All-Ireland semi-finals in 2016. Just a really untimely death. Our sympathies go to all of Liam's family and everybody associated with him. Niall, I suppose, being a Tipperary man, you would have enjoyed many a happy championship day when Liam was managing Tipperary.
Yeah, just shocking news to read last night, Darren. Like, just 61 years of age, and he was coaching the Offaly footballers only yesterday morning. Like, and you know, Liam Kearns, just a kind of a larger than life character, really. Any interview you see with him, I know the last one I seen was after they beat Dublin in the O'Byrne Cup, and you know, it was classic Liam Kearns. He was defending his own players. He was outspoken, and he was talking about, how the O'Byrne Cup campaign turned into just a bit of a farce there for a finish. But I think everyone kind of agreed with him on the subject. He was one of those men who had that kind of a knack to cut through the kind of the rubbish and the gimmicks in Gaelic football. It's like something of a traditionalist, really. And I know in that summer in 2016, he definitely got the best out of Tipperary, and he talked about, and the players often talked about how Liam Kearns, you know, he encouraged them to celebrate their wins, and there just seemed to be a great camaraderie in the Tipperary team that year, and Liam Kearns was definitely the man behind all that. He was the man who brought everyone together. Just seemed like a great leader of a man, and a man who everyone could row in behind, and it seemed like that was exactly how it was going with Offaly. They've been going really well in the last few weeks, so it's a devastating blow to lose a man like him, you know, a rarity and a gem of a man and a manager. And you just feel awful for all, obviously his family. It's shocking for them, a man just 61 years of age, and as well as that, the Offaly players, because they were just getting to know, like, what a great man he was and what a great manager he was. So, very sad and just shocking news, really, to hear of a Sunday night.
Yeah, and even last night, I suppose I actually got a couple of messages from people, GA people and journalists, and like you said, Niall, they all said the same thing. Like, he was obviously a very respected GA man, but it was a couple of the journalists that messaged me, I suppose, trying to find out if it was true. And they all said the same thing. What a great guy, sound guy, great character. And it's unusual to have a fella so well respected and well liked amongst everyone. So, like we said, our sympathies go out to his family and his friends and everybody that he's touched, I suppose, over the years, inside the GA and outside the GA circles. Not a nice subject to be starting the show with. We'd no football this weekend, Lee, either. But five games in, we'll have a little bit of a look and see where we're set. Probably not the easiest show to do now, starting off on that note. But just from your own point of view, would we have a pick of player of the year so far?
Yeah. Sort of tricky, this, you know, you're only five games into the league, as you said, and trying to pick like a standout player. I suppose for me, the fairly obvious one would be Matthew Tierney, and for a whole, you know, plethora of reasons, just given that Galway started this season with huge expectations, given that they were in the All-Ireland final last year, and it was that sort of question was, you know, is that a one-off? Did they muster all of that up for one big push, and that's everything that they had? Or can they really push on and become a team that regularly competes for the biggest titles? And then it got off to the worst start nearly, you know, with injuries to Damian Comer, Sheehan Walsh missing, big names that, you know, that last year it looked like the team were nearly overly reliant on. So it took people, it took for people to stand up, and Matthew Tierney is sort of, he's like the ultimate stand up and be counted, you know, kind of guy. This season really could have been, or this league campaign could have been a disaster for Galway, and they could have found themselves in a relegation battle, constantly trying to plug holes, just waiting for men to come back. But Matthew Tierney decided to be, I'm going to be the star man now that they're gone. And you know what? It'll be hard for Comer and Walsh to come back in and take that mantle off him, because he's just been so, so impressive.
Yeah. Lee, would you go along with that, or would you have someone different?
I'm Lee Dorn, so I just said that.
Oh, sorry. Niall, sorry. Yeah, sorry, my head's all over the shop.
I'm Niall. Yeah, I'm going to go with Enda Hessian. I think he's been, he's had a barnstorming start to the year, really. I suppose it was all summed up that day in McHale Park against Tyrone. He set up the first goal for Aidan O'Shea by just kind of breaking through, bursting past the tackle. And he just seems to have a real kind of desire and real ambition in all of his, every time he gets the ball, he's bombing forward with real purpose. And then the goal he got that day is probably the score of the league so far. When he took it around Niall Morgan, of all lads, just showed composure, skill, a bit of class. Something you probably wouldn't in the past have associated with cornerbacks, but Enda Hessian is kind of, he's the new breed of cornerback with this. He's the speed, he has the skill, and as well as that, like he's a tight marker as well, because he kept Dara Canavan very quiet that day, and he's kept a lot of forwards quiet. So like Mayo have had a brilliant start to the league, but I think he's been the real bright spark, and I'd have him as the player of the league so far. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they're two actually great picks. Tierney obviously has taken on the mantle, while Shane Walsh and Comer have been out, and that's been brilliant, and we've talked about him on the show. And I think you're right, Niall. Enda Hessian, to be fair, he is. It's amazing how Mayo just keep kind of producing these type of defenders that are obviously very good defenders, but are so good going forward. Like you look at the likes of Keith Higgins and these boys over the years, and with them gone, Enda Hessian's kind of taken over that mantle. So yeah, it's hard to argue with them two players, and yet again, it's two Connacht players at the moment. It seems like the Connacht Championship is going to be the only one to watch as well at the moment. And we have a little section here called Stick It In The Bin. I'm not sure who came up with that one, but I'm presuming it's Lee, because he's having a right chuckle there. I'm going to start with you, Lee. What are we going to stick in the bin?
Yeah. So I totally stole this from other podcasts. Like, I don't mind saying that. I'll just be completely
liable. I'll be open about it.
Yeah, you might as well. Like, I don't think I've came up with an original idea in my life. But stick it in the bin. So we're taking something from the game or something that we've seen recently in the league, and we want to get rid of it. And mine's probably fairly obvious or fairly predictable given what we talked about last week, and it's diving or simulation or acting the clown, whatever way you want to put it. One of the advantages I think of the league is that it exposes these things early on, and then we can really nail it down going into the championship. And just by talking about it and sort of like almost raising awareness on it, you know, like the conversation has already started, like diving's becoming a more talked about thing, and hopefully that alone will play its part in stopping players from doing it, just because of the sheer embarrassment of it. And embarrassment is the word, because Dean Rock came out earlier this week, I think, he was asked about it, and that's the exact word he used. He says he thinks that it's embarrassing, and it's good to see a current county player, you know, saying that and thinking that and trying to get that message across his peers. So if it's something we can stamp out immediately, or better yet, just stick it in the bin.
Yeah, I'd 100% agree with that. Niall, I think you're going a different route.
Sweeper keepers. A lot of people love them. And in fairness, my take on it is that if you're not Ethan Rafferty, then you should stay in your goals. I was talking to Park Faulkner about it last week. He's the Cavan fullback. And I just asked him, what does he think of it? Would he be happy to see Ray Galligan running up the field? And he said, I don't want my keeper coming out. This is a quote he said. And I think Ray is happy enough not to be coming out too far as well. albeit the keeper is a great option if you're penned in from a high press, but I don't want to be seeing the keeper trying to score from play. He doesn't want to be seen. I don't want to be seeing my keeper doing an 80-yard sprint back into the goals either. And to be honest, I'd agree with Padraig. And I know Ray McGallaghan, he's played something like 100 games for Cavan, and 10 or 15 of them were out the field as a forward. So he's the type of lad that you would expect to be coming out. But I just think the tactic has been kind of, I think it's maybe teams are sticking to it a bit too rigidly at times. Like, and listen, I'm a huge fan of Ethan Rafferty, and I think he's an absolute, like, he's one of the most entertaining players to watch. And when he gets the ball, is it's nearly one of the most entertaining things in Gaelic football. But I remember watching the Armagh Donegal match there last weekend, and it was in the very late on in injury time, and there was only one score between them. I think Armagh were up at 3 points this stage, and there was an Armagh defender, he was the last man back, and Rafferty just was gone out the wing looking for the ball, even though there was a bit of a press on from Donegal. And do you know what, the Armagh defenders were under a bit of pressure on the ball, so if the Donegal boys got the ball, then they had an open goal. And I just think in a situation like that, there's no need for, like, when you're 3 points up in injury time, I don't think there's any need for the keeper to be, you know, looking for the ball out the side. I think, yeah, some teams are a bit too rigid with it. The Roscommon one was obviously the worst one in the league campaign to date, when they conceded that goal. And in fairness, that wasn't Conor Carroll's fault. That was just a mess up between the two defenders, a bad pass. But, like, at the same time, I don't think Carroll needed to be out the wing at that stage. I don't, like, there's a time and a place for it, but I don't think it needs to happen every
time. Niall, I'm gonna break it to you now. It doesn't matter what you think anymore, because that's just the way it is. I was of that agreement as well. It was cracking me up. I just don't have the nerves for it. But I just think that's one of the evolutions of GAA that isn't going away. And I think you're going to have less and less good goalkeepers playing in goal. I think there'd be more, what is it, Mickey Hart said, just footballers, no positions. And not that I'm coming to terms with it, I'm getting used to it. I'm not sure do I like it a whole pile either, to be fair, but it does add a bit of excitement. But when you're bringing the goalie up to kick freeze inside the 45 or on the 21, that's where I draw the line. yeah, see, I know Ethan Rafferty's a good footballer, he's a forward, but Jesus, if you don't have, like, bringing a goalie up 100 yards to kick a free from 20 yards is shocking.
Yeah, but, like, I actually don't mind that much. It's just
no, come on. Will you make up your mind?
You need consistency. Listen, here, Niall.
Niall, you either want them in the goal or you don't. Come on.
Lads, is it in the bin or isn't it?
You don't want him running 80 yards up the field, and now you want him to go 120 to kick a free.
If he puts it over the bar, then I don't care.
What if he doesn't?
Well, if he doesn't, then he shouldn't be taking them. There should be someone else taking them.
Ah, but sure, we've seen the best free takers miss him.
Lads, I don't mind watching this, but my problem is if this is my team, and it's the exact same as if this is my team and the goalie is out, like, I wouldn't like to see that, because I think it's too risky. And especially when, like, there's a time and a place for it, but especially when you're in the driving seat in the game, I don't think you need to be taking that risk. So that's
not true. Plus, if it's your team, are you not more cross that you don't have a forward to kick a free from 20 yards?
Yeah, well, listen, if he puts it over the bar, I do not care.
True. We were going to, I suppose the next part we were going to look at was managers under pressure. And I suppose since our last podcast, there's actually been a managerial switch. Ray Dempsey, who's left his role as the Limerick football manager, he was off the back of two very successful club years in Mayo. You'd hear different rumours about what went wrong or why it went wrong, but he's gone. And Mark Fitzgerald, Kearns Rathley's and Tralee man, who I'd actually know very well, is after taking over the role as manager. So Yeah. Is there any other managers you think could be under pressure? Lee, we'll go with you first. I think you're going to come up with a dinger.
Yeah. Well, I've sort of got two. And I say under pressure, it doesn't mean that I think they're immediately going to get the sack or
what. Get your shovel out now.
Pressure means different things to different people. But I'll start actually first. I think Andy McEntee, actually, the Antrim manager, is definitely under pressure. They had a bad, bad beating against Westmeath last week. I think John Heslin scored something like 112, which is just ridiculous, and it ended up being a cricket score, really. So he came from Meath with a really good reputation. Antrim looked like in a good enough place after Enda McGinley's reign. So, you know, it sort of looked like he could be the person to take them forward, but I don't know if it's a slow transition or what the crack is, but they're struggling at the minute. And then my other one, the one that you're talking about that I think is under pressure, is maybe Desi Farrell. And look, when you look at it, like,
dun, dun, dun.
When you look at it, like, you know, pragmatically, you know, Dublin, they're in Division 2. There's nothing you can do about that. They've won every game bar one to a very good Derry side. They only lost by a point. They're definitely going to get promoted. You know, what's the big deal sort of thing. But when you talk about under pressure, like the pressure of being a Dublin manager, there is outrageous expectations there, especially when you're the manager that followed Jim Gavin. Now, initially, obviously, it went really well in his first season. He won the All-Ireland. But really, when they appointed Desi Farrell, his appointment was basically to be, we need you to guide the transition from this sort of golden era into hopefully a new one, or at least a fairly successful one. And the thinking behind that was definitely sound, given that he was, you know, the under-20 manager beforehand and he was successful there. But it's looking like it's a little bit harder. I think, you know, third year now going in fourth. He's still overly reliant on these key players from the Jim Gavin era. They're not unearthing the new stars or producing the new sort of forwards and stuff that they had been doing in previous years. And they just sort of look like they're stuck in a time warp at the minute. You know, like, they don't know exactly how to push on and how to strip the thing back. And I thought maybe being in Division 2 would have given them a really good opportunity to do so. But when you're still super reliant on the likes of Jack McCarthy coming off the bench to, you know, who's been away from the game for nearly 3 years, and you're relying on him to come off the bench and try to win it for you and things like that, like, it's not a great place to be. And all eyes are definitely on Desi Farrell.
Yeah. I think depending on how they do in the championship, maybe there will be a bit of pressure on him. But like, it's a hard one. I'd be honest, I actually find the league quite hard to judge this year, because you actually don't know what teams are actually thinking or what they're planning in terms of, you know, before it was easier to know if a team was trying to peak for August, September, whereas I'm just not fully convinced that you can peak anymore. I think it is a case of hitting the ground running, because I think if you're trying to peak for a certain game, you could leave yourself in a bit of hot water. Niall, anyone send up name to you?
Yeah, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel here. I think everyone would probably agree that of all the teams, they're the only team that hasn't scored a goal in the league this year. That's Kildare. They're probably been the most disappointing team of the league so far. So, I think Glen Ryan is probably under the most pressure of anyone, really. They've suffered two home hammerings in Newbridge. Derry beat them by 14 points, and Cork beat them by 13. And this inconsistency, we know they got hammered in Leinster by Dublin last year. There's a inconsistency in Kildare, and things don't seem to be right. Like, they have that, it's a kind of a management team that's kind of full of legends, like with Anthony Rainbow, Johnny Dial and Dermot Early, but there's no denying the fact that the team are struggling. And Glen Ryan is he's under a bit of pressure, like, so I'd say of all them, he's definitely under the most.
Yeah, I'd probably go along with that. Kildare definitely been the most disappointing team in all the divisions. There are teams going well and teams going poorly, but I think in terms of expectation and what you kind of expect to see from Kildare, they're falling well below standards up to now. But whether they can turn around now, who's to know. In terms of managers looking good, there's obviously I think we'll all go. There's definitely one, and I think Niall, you'll probably be going with him, even though Lee is trying to get a bit of a hashtag going with it. But who would you go with, Niall?
Yeah, I think it has to be Kevin McStay, I suppose. Mayo haven't lost a game in the league so far. There's been a great buzz. I suppose there's always a buzz about Mayo, but there's, especially this year, there's been a huge buzz about all their league games. A lot of them have been played under lights, and the team have just been, they've been on fire, really. They've been banging in goals, and I suppose the best of all, and the most, I suppose the most positive thing of all for Kevin McStay is the amount of young players that have not just played games, but have absolutely stepped up and have, you know, made a name for themselves, and they're making the type of impacts that they will be playing in the championships. So you're talking the likes of McBrien. He's a beast of a man, full back. He's really stepped up. Obviously, we've mentioned Enda Hessian, but there's lots of other lads. James Carr he's been there a few years, but he's added a bit more consistency to his game this year. And I suppose Fionn McDonagh, he looks a stronger man than he had been in previous years. Bob Toohey is coming through, and there's Tommy Conroy is back. So there's huge positivity in Mayo. They've been very impressive. They've had played with, you know, a real kind of a swagger about them. And Kevin McStay, he's the happiest, I'd say, of all the managers. You can see in his interviews after the games, he's loving every second of it. And with the performances he's getting, it's no wonder why, really.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, like you said, there's always a bit of a buzz around Mayo, but I don't think anybody expected it to be. They're bouncing, to be fair, and like they're probably the most enjoyable team to watch so far in the championship. So yeah, definitely agree with you on that one, Niall. Lee, you've been preaching McStay ball for a while, but I think you're going a different direction here.
Yeah, no, I mean, McStay is obviously the obvious one, but I've just been hugely impressed as well with Padraic Joyce. And Mayo are kind of the reason for this, because if you look at Mayo in 2021 and the great season that they had right up until the All-Ireland final against Drone, and then they lost, the hangover from that, and like they were a shadow of themselves the following year, you know, last year. And it's ultimately what lost James Horan his job, and gave McStay the opportunity to start this sort of rebuild. So like Galway were in a similar situation, you know, they could have very easily, the heartbreak could have broken them, as I said, and Padraic Joyce, you know, he's been there for a few years now, that he maybe could have felt that this could have been his one opportunity, but he seems to believe that it's actually only the beginning, and he seems to have got that message through to his players and the way that they're playing at the minute. You know, they're not going to win Division 1, but they're definitely going to be safe. And as we sort of, a little bit like the Matthew Tierney situation, just with all the injuries and everything else, it could have so easily have been a per us sort of mentality. We're always plugging holes. This isn't the real us. The season's getting away from us. But he's just used it as an opportunity to try new things, give players a chance to step up. And now that the bigger stars are sort of, you know, being reintroduced, Shane Walsh was brought back last week, they just look more stronger and confident, and they seem to have taken great spirit from last season's defeat rather than letting it break them. And I just think that's really impressive and really good man management.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with them too. And yet again, like the players who are going well, the managers are Connacht. So everything is pointing towards Connacht again by us. Two managers I'd actually probably call out in terms of doing really well this year. Mickey Hart, we all know Mickey Hart, one of the best managers, but I think what he's doing down in Louth is brilliant. They're going really well. And closer to home, Cleary in Cork, I think has got Cork moving in the right direction. They had a poor start, obviously, losing to Mead. But I think he hasn't gone well. I think he hasn't geared up. And like, it's not even about this year for Cork. I think it's about just improving this year and then kicking on. I do think he has them going in the right direction. So I think likewise with the hurling in Cork, I think they're going in the right direction. And I suppose so far in the league, like you said, we're only a couple of games in, but are there any breakthrough players really that are impressing you this year? A lot of the usual names are standing up. There's been quite a good few new lads coming, Niall.
Ben O'Carroll is the breakthrough player of the year so far. For me, I think like Roscommon had a great start. They won the first three games and he was a key man. And I suppose it kind of came a bit unknowns to people from outside, really, that Roscommon have, you know, they've a good crop of young players coming through, because they were in that, they lost awfully in that All-Ireland under 20 final a couple of years ago, but there's six of those lads that were playing in, they were starting for Roscommon there in a game there recently, like, and Ben O'Carroll has probably been the most impressive of all of them. He was probably the key man on that under 20 team, but he's just a dynamite sort of a forward with great pace. He can score off both feet, and as well as that, he plays with great, you know, when he gets the ball, every time he runs onto a ball, he just seems like a fella that wants to make something happen. He doesn't mess around with the ball, or he doesn't kind of give, you know, a backwards pass that we're very used to seeing in Gaelic football. He just always wants to either take on his man or take a shot. And he's probably a player that Roscommon could have done with, you know, a kind of a real dangerous forward. And I think in the next, if he keeps going the way he's going, he'll be a great player for Roscommon over the next few years. So yeah, been very impressed with him.
Yeah, and Lee, have you anyone that you might name? Maybe someone from outside of Connacht?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. No, it's a bit closer to home. I'm going to go with Owen McAvoy, the Derry fullback. He's been very, very promising for the Oakleaf County at the minute. And there's three big reasons why he's been so impressive. Like, first of all, it's his age. He's only 19, you know, and to play fullback and to get into that Derry team that have been going so well in recent years is impressive by itself. The second reason is Gallagher's demands, you know, so to be that young and to get the trust of a manager like Gallagher. Like, Gallagher's only got something like 27 players in a panel. Like, that's how, you know, anal he is about the players that he lets inside the sort of Derry bubble. He's so, like, he's such a control freak and he's so specific. And that's why they're so, like, well-drilled and successful as well. But for him to be able to take that on so early on and be... My point is, you know, if he was able to impress him at that age and to be trusted with that responsibility, then he's obviously a really talented guy. And then the third reason why I think he's been hugely impressive is his position. Just the fact that he actually is playing fullback at 19, because, you know, typically, even if you were playing fullback from under 12 all the way to under 20s, when you're introduced to the senior county setup, more often than not, you start out as a cornerback, and then as you get a little bit older, a little bit more experienced, then you're shifted into a sort of central position. Fullback's always seen as sort of a leadership role nearly. Like, you think, you know, Sean Kealy and Padraig Hamsey even, sort of, they're all fullbacks and captains of their counties. But this was just a very brave decision by Gallagher. He obviously trusts Owen in taking this on. The easy thing for him would have been to just play Garth McInnes and fullback. McInnes plays fullback for Slackneil, so, and you could have started Owen in cornerback. There would have been less, like, attention on him. You know, he could have sort of went in under the firing line just a little bit more smoothly, but they didn't want to lose McInnes's sort of man-marking responsibilities and what he brings to the team there. So they needed to find one, and they went with a young talent, and so far he's really living up to it.
Yeah, and like we've a bit of a section here, clever tactic of the year, and I suppose before I go to you, Niall, I suppose, Lee, your one actually comes with what you just talked about, but... Niall, before I leave Lee talk again, because we'll never get a word in between the two of us. Niall, you went for one, and it's one I think we've been calling out. We were calling for this all last year. Go on, go with it. Tell us.
Yeah, Aidan O'Shea at full forward. I think everyone has, for a long time, people have been saying, you know, get that man into the edge of the square and get the ball in on top of him. And Kevin McStay has went with it. He was actually one of the men who was calling for that for years when he was a pundit. And it has been a great success for Mayo so far this year. O'Shea looks a completely different player in there. He looks fresher, his confidence is up, he's kicking the odd score, but I suppose most of all, he's just a huge asset and a huge, you know, he breaks the ball down for the younger lads. He mightn't even, or the smaller lads, he mightn't even have to win the ball, but it's just his presence in there. It causes a huge distraction for other teams. He's very clever. He's very unselfish. He'll always pass the ball. And I suppose that's a huge thing for his, you know, the likes of Ryan O'Donoghue, James Carr, Tommy Conroy, these boys, that they know if Aidan O'Shea, and if the ball gets into him, and Mayo are kicking the ball into him, and if it comes into him, he will pass it. So, you know, the boys are ready. O'Shea is winning balls, so he's more confident than he's ever been. We've seen that pass he gave to James Carr. That was, like, unbelievable, you know, and he has that in his locker. You know it as much as anyone, Darren, having played with him up in DIT, but I think it's been a revelation, and it's probably been the game changer for Mayo, we'll say, so far this year. He does drop out, comes into midfield the odd time, and that kind of mixes it up, keeps the other teams in their toes. So yeah, I can't say anything bad about it.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I think look, just from a personal point of view, it is actually great to see, and for once people are actually enjoying Aidan O'Shea as a footballer that he is as well, and probably seeing him utilised better to his better for his kind of skill set as well. Like, so we're seeing the best of Aidan O'Shea that maybe we haven't seen over the last couple of years, probably for reasons out of his control. But Lee, you talked about breakthrough player of the year, and I suppose it set another man free for Derry.
I was going to make a joke and say it was sweeper keeper, but I wouldn't set Niall off. No, but my sort of tactic of the year would be moving Brendan Rodgers into midfield. So, and yeah, as you mentioned, Owen McAvoy being in fullback allowed Gallagher to make that decision, you know. So Emma Bradley's dropped out of the panel this year. Niall Toner seems to be playing in a half forward position rather than midfield. Conor Glass obviously has the other position nailed down, and they just complement each other so well, because Brendan, he brings so much energy and like athleticism. And, you know, all the obvious things, like his bravery, his fetching is fantastic. The way he can run in from deep, his tackling's still very good. But you did sort of lose something from him when he was fullback. Now, he did a brilliant job on Michael Murphy last year in the Ulster final, but nearly more because his running forward brought Murphy out of position so much, you know, and he kicked so many points himself. But he kind of, you know, not caught out, but like it, that sort of style didn't suit when he was up against Comer when they played Galway in the semi-final. So by unleashing him and sort of giving him that freedom, we're getting the best off him, and no better moment typifies it than when Derry beat Dublin just last weekend, or 2 weekends ago, sorry. It was him that sort of, you know, he won the ball, he set off the big strides that he does. Like, he is like a proper stallion when he gets going. He covers so much distance so quickly and got the winning point, and I think it's going to be a huge plus for Derry this year.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, it just mixes things up, similar to the Aidan O'Shea one. It mixes things up, gives you more options all over the field. So just before we finish up on the football talk, going down the divisions, away from Division 1, talking points, Niall, maybe Cavan flying again this year, 5 from 5.
Yes, Cavan are kind of, they've been through a bit of a scenic route, I'd say, in the last while, in the leagues especially. They played in all 4 divisions, and they're kind of on their way back up again. They won Division 4 last year. Tipperary were the only team actually that beat them last year. They won 6 out of 7 in Division 4 last year, and then beat Tip in the final. And they've been just as impressive and just as dominant in Division 3 this year. They've 5 out of 5 so far. So, Cavan have, you know, like, Cavan are a good team. They're probably a Division 2 team pushing Division 1. When they're at their best, so they're too good for where they are. at the minute. They have some brilliant players. We mentioned Páraic Faulkner earlier. He's a brilliant fullback. Garrod McKiernan, up the field, can kick scores from anywhere. And Paddy Lynch is another man who I was probably looking at for one of the breakthrough players as well this year. He's a, you know, a bit like Ben O'Carroll, real fast, loves kicking scores, a real eye for a score. So Cavan have been impressive. I know it's against inferior opposition, but they're a team that I could see making a bit of a dent in the Ulster Championship this year and could spring a surprise or two, because I know they'll have to. The winning Division 3 won't get them into the All-Ireland series. They need to get to an Ulster final as well. So, you know, they've momentum built up earlier on, but the biggest early on the season, but the biggest job for them is the Championship. And I think when it comes around, they will be a team to watch. Mickey Graham has them flying, and he's a manager with a great track record. So, yeah, don't be surprised if they claim a scalp later on in the year.
Yeah, I'd go along with that as well. And they're definitely, I'd definitely put them in the top 10 to 12 teams in the country, to be honest. It was a surprise to see them fall so far down, but they're starting to get their act together again. I mentioned Cork earlier, with John Cleary. I think he's starting to get them motoring. They're scoring goals to bait the band, and there genuinely would be a bit of a question mark there now. Can they put it up to Kerry and Munster? And to be honest, even if they don't this year, I definitely think they're moving in the right direction for the next couple of years. So that's definitely a talking point. I just think they're finally going in the right direction. And like I said, any team that's scoring goals is going to be dangerous, and they're getting a bag full of them. Lee, any talking points for you?
Yeah, no, well, just on the Cork Kerry thing, whether they'll give them a match or not, I think sort of being in Division 2 is nearly a benefit for them in that sense, in that they don't have to play Kerry in Division 1, you know, and they don't meet them until the Championship. Kerry are sort of like maybe not in the most confident mood at the minute. There's still a couple of games left to go, and they probably will finish on a high. But, you know, Cork have started motoring really well, and they could go in with sort of, what's the word, like, you know, nothing to lose kind of thing. You know, they've got a fair few games. Everyone knows they're going in the right direction. They've sort of put that out there compared to last season when they were struggling. And then it was actually their performance against Kerry in the first half anyway that started the sort of change in momentum and in mood. You know, the fact that actually we can sort of compete with the big boys here, and that definitely helped them going forward. And for the sake of the Munster Championship, I know you've been saying it a lot, is hopefully Cork can start putting it up to Kerry, although I don't think you'd be too happy if they did get over the line and actually got the win.
Oh no, I wouldn't enjoy that, but we do want to see good games and stuff like that. And to be fair, like, a county like Cork should be competing in hurling and football with the size and the amount of players. And to be fair, it's not just the amount of players, the amount of good players. So yeah, like that, I think they are going the right direction. Keith Byrne is flying it, and he's been open enough about setting himself targets, Niall. And to be fair, I'd say he's living up to the targets that he's setting himself.
Yeah, he's the top scorer in the league across all the divisions. Like, maybe it is like a small bit easier to get the scores when you're such a key player in Division 4. But he's well clear. He's 442 scored, and it comes on the back of, you know, a very impressive Tailteann Cup where he won an All-Star last year. So Keith Byrne is probably, like, you'd have to say he's one of the best players in the league so far. He's a real kind of an animal of a man. I was chatting to him last week, and yeah, that was one thing that stood out to me, was I just talked about, you know, setting these individual targets for himself. You know, and I suppose it's a thing that a lot of players would do, whether they write it in their phone or, you know, some lads you'd see them putting a picture on their wallpaper on their phone just to remind them of where they want to get to. And it's probably a good thing for players to do. Keith Byrne's target was to be the top scorer in the National League. He had a target last year to win a Tailteann Cup All-Star. So, you know, they've stood to him, I suppose, And he said, you know, a quote that stuck out for me was that, you know, I have to hit these targets. And he puts himself under a bit of pressure to hit those targets. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. And I don't know, is it something you ever did, Darren, at the start of the year, set out a target for yourself? I don't know whether to win an All-Star in All-Ireland.
Do you know, it's funny. Nothing. I never actually set out individual targets. All-Ireland was always a target, but I didn't need to write it down anywhere. But I did see it in the latter stage of my career. I did notice fellas would use notebooks more often and write them down. We were like that. All these different fads come in, and we used to have to bring a notebook the odd time to meetings. And you know, there was nothing written in mine, to be honest. I wasn't one for writing stuff down, but you'd always have targets going into games and stuff like that. But I wasn't one for the individual targets in terms of, oh, I need to get X amount of scores. I'd go into every game, I'd have to create a certain amount of goal chances, but they weren't for me per se. Like if I created a goal chance for whoever it was, that was as good as creating it for me, you know, kind of way. But I never actually had any of them kind of going, all right, I want to be an All-Star this year, or I want to be top scorer. It wasn't my game really, to be honest. A lot of my game was about carrying a ball a certain point and bringing someone else into it. So but yeah, it's definitely the way to go in terms. But to be fair, I actually think goal setting outside of football and sport is massive now. I think people are more aware of that stuff now, so fair play to them. And being honest about it and being open about it actually adds more pressure, and you'd actually have a lot of respect for him coming out and saying it straight out, which is great to see. And he is flying, which is great. And other than that, I suppose you have Fermanagh picking up a couple of big wins as well in flying, and Sean Quigley doing what only Sean Quigley can do. Lee, coming up with some late goals.
Yeah. I know we were talking about sort of Connacht Championship being the place to be, but like the sort of supposed weaker teams in Ulster are definitely performing in the lower divisions, and they're going to be coming into the Ulster Championship with a lot of confidence, the likes of Fermanagh, Sean Quigley leading the line and the goals that he's getting. And I can see he was sort of recently that all the talk has been about Down and their kind of revolution under Conor Laverty, you know, just because of all the attention that brought. And he sort of thought that Fermanagh weren't getting maybe the recognition that they deserve for their performances, and they definitely do deserve recognition, because they didn't get the instant bounce of sort of a new manager. Like, not everyone does, you know, that's sort of like what McStay's got at the minute. Sometimes it does take a season for to sort of maybe weed players out that don't believe in your philosophy, or for tactics and new drills and things to just sort of settle in. And especially in the sort of smaller counties where your season maybe just isn't as long. That's obviously helped now with the Talcheen Cup being introduced, but there's definitely getting the benefit of that now, and it's good to see. Any game where you see Sean Quigley is always going to be entertaining.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for football wise for today's show, but we'll be back next week with a full roundup of all the games. And I'm going to leave you now, and Lee and Niall are going to take over the hurling talk.
Okay, so Darren's going to leave us now for a little while the two hurling experts get stuck into the weekend's action. Henry Shefflin probably summed it up best this weekend. He said, you get to a phase where you have to stop experimenting and you have to start thinking. That horizon is upon us now. The championship is coming next month. Do you agree with Henry there, Niall?
Yeah, I think it definitely applies to Galway. They had disappointed really in the last two games against Cork and against Limerick. They were particularly poor against Limerick. But and even though they started a bit slower in Cusack Park yesterday, they really grew into the game, and you could see how much they wanted to win this game. Dahi Burke talked about it earlier, or after the game on TG Cahir as well. It's rare enough that he does interviews, but he did one for TG Cahir. And he just said that, you know, we were very disappointed with how we played the last, the whole league really, and we had targeted this, and you could see it in them. Galway really, they dug it out. Like Clare were 7 points up in the early stages, but Galway, they dug it out. Conor Cooney hurled well. you know, just a good team performance. Thomas Monaghan, who has been one of their standout players in this league campaign, he kept doing it as well. And it was rare enough to see Conor Whelan having something of an off day, by his standards anyway. But he then comes up, as he has done so many times, he comes up with the game-changing goal, really, in the second half. A brilliant goal, broke onto a puck out, and they couldn't catch him. So I suppose that just shows the calibre of player Conor Whelan is. Even when things were going bad for him, he was still able to step up to make that difference. So, yeah, going back to your point, I think every team you could see that there was, like, while in previous rounds it was a bit, you know, it was challenge match kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Teams were taking it seriously this time around, and I suppose Galway epitomised that, because, you know, they had been going so poor. But mm-hmm. to get that win will be important for them now. The championship is, as Henry said, it's only a month away. Like,
mm-hmm, absolutely, and it's even just the shift in mentality that makes all the difference in terms of entertainment. You'll be a happy boy at the weekend anyway. Tipperary, good win over Waterford.
Yeah, well, like on the same point, Liam Cahill was interviewed after the game, and he just said that Micheál O'Donnell put it to him. He said, "You know, it's been said that Waterford peaked too soon under you last year, that they were tired when it came to the business end." And I suppose that's why we're having this whole conversation, is that Waterford did flop after a brilliant league campaign. They flopped in the championship last year.
Mm-hmm.
So Micheál asked Liam the million-dollar question, and Liam just said the proof will be in the pudding, with a smile on his face. The proof will be in the pudding come championship, whether I did get it wrong. So he's right there. The proof will be in the pudding. But what he also said was that momentum is the key word for Tipperary, and they definitely have, I suppose, Limerick aside, have the most momentum. They've won every game so far, and it was another impressive performance in Semple Stadium by them. They put 4 goals past Waterford. Jake Morris got a brilliant hat-trick. You know, every goal was actually the same, the way he finished it. As you're told as a forward, is to hit the ball into the ground, not to give the goalie any chance. And Jake Morris finished it superbly, and he's really coming into his own. Conor Bow got the other goal. I suppose Waterford never really got going in this one. Desi Hutchinson didn't get onto the ball. Austin Gleeson came off early. I think he had a bit of an injury, but Caelum Lyons was exceptional, 4 points from play. He's become an outstanding player for Waterford. But him aside, Tip were a lot better. Waterford couldn't really cope with them. I suppose the trademark of the Liam Cahill team is that they bomb forward and look for goals, and Waterford couldn't really cope with them when they did get forward. I suppose what I've noticed as well is that Tip are, they're tracking back a lot as well. So there's a lot of fitness in the team. Liam Cahill's teams are renowned for that. And yes, a bit like a football team, then they attack in numbers too. So look, it's all good for Tipperary so far.
Mm-hmm. And thanks for using a football example so I'd understand. we're talking there about the league, you know, less experimenting, they're taking it more seriously now. But with Cork, you know, there were still a lot of new faces, and they just scraped over the line against Wexford.
Yeah, there were a lot of new faces. Don Logue said on the Sunday game there might only be 5 or 6 of them lads playing come the championship. I suppose this was a particularly big game for Wexford, seeing as the hammering they took at Clare, against Clare at home 2 weeks mm-hmm. ago. And in fairness to Wexford, they did show up, and they started off 6 points off the bat, 6 points to no score. It took Cork 20 minutes until they got on the scoreboard with Shane Kingston free. So Wexford did start like a team that meant business, but I suppose it like Wexford, they'll be disappointed with yesterday, that number one, that they lost that game, but even because they could have won it, but even bigger than that they lost 3 key players to injuries. Conor McDonald came off early. His calf was heavily strapped, and he was going well too. Got a great point just before he went off. Centre back Damien Reck had to go off injured, and Matthew O'Hanlon went off late on with an injury. We talked about how close the championship is. That's of all the teams, of all the teams in hurling, Wexford, of the top teams in hurling, Wexford can't afford to be missing players. And we've seen that against Clare the 2 weekends ago when they were hockey that day. But it was going well for them this time. They had Lee Chin back and he was on fire, scored 4 from play and set up Simon Donoghue for 2 more. Just brilliant. Lee Chin at his best. Rory O'Connor came back and late on, but it's good to have him back. But it's disappointing for Darry Egan that it's kind of 2 steps forward, one step forward, 2 steps back, in that the 3 boys, 3 key players came off with injuries the day they had everyone back. Liam Sheedy said it on the Sunday game, they're probably one of the few counties, well, of all counties, they can't really cope with missing key players because they mightn't have that strength and depth that the top counties have. So disappointing for them there, but I suppose bits of green shoots. Cork weren't brilliant at home, but I suppose they did enough. Shane Barrett stood up and he was brilliant. So it was good for them. They'd be happy to get that win, you know, when they hadn't everyone and when things had gone a bit against them, you know.
Mm-hmm. And on a weekend where things were new, it was sort of the same old story with Kilkenny beating Dublin and Dublin's issues up front.
Definitely. Like Dublin, Donal Burke has probably been the player of this league campaign so far. 4 points again from play yesterday. I think he got 11 in total. That's after getting 15 against Tip. The man is on fire. He's scoring points like it's the easiest thing in the world. Just throw him out the ball and he pops it over. But the problem for Dublin is there's not much of a supporting cast. I know they've had a few injuries. Ronan Hayes' hamstring is at him. Alex Considine was down with a hamstring towards the end of the game yesterday. But it was the same old story. Kilkenny won the game by 11. They could have won by more even. This was, like, we were talking about the intensity up and Galway and Tip and all these teams, you know, gearing towards championship. Just looking at this game, this was back to, like, this was poor. This lacked intensity. And you'd have to blame Dublin for that because they were the team that were chasing the game from early on. And it's a huge problem for Dublin. Like, they lost 11 points to Kilkenny yesterday. They lost to Kilkenny by 17 points in the championship last year. And then they lost by 13 points in last year's league. Like, Kilkenny are in the same province as them. They're going to be playing them a lot. And they can never, they're not just not beating them, they're not even getting close to them. So this is disappointing for Dublin. It's worrying for them. They're, apart from Donal Burke, there hasn't been too many green shoots. And we know the players they're missing, Chris Crummy, Keane O'Callaghan, Ryan McBride. So it's been a tough start for Micheál Donoghue there, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And with some counties in this league sort of benefiting from, you know, producing new faces, Limerick have definitely benefited this weekend from just getting old names back.
Definitely, yeah. Well, they won by 12, but they'd be expected to beat Westmeath. But like they won by 12 points. It was a plucky enough display from Westmeath. But Limerick really are, like, we're talking about Tipperary going well, but Limerick they're obviously the team. They're going for the 4 in a row this year, but in previous years they may have been a bit slow in the league. They've been flying so far in this campaign. And, you know, they had Aaron Gillan back for the first time this year. Dermot Burns back for the first time this year. He'd been out in Dubai, actually. I came across him when I was on my travels. He was hurling for the Dubai Kels out there and in a few tournaments. I seen him in one tournament out in Sharjah. And he was actually playing on an intermediate team out there. So you can imagine how good he was out there, the Hurler of the Year. Playing out in Dubai, but he's back now. Gillan's back, and Tom Morrissey is nearly always a man that's does the business for Limerick. He got 9 points, 5 from play, but another man who got 5 from play was Donnacha O'Dalig, a lad who was exceptional in the All-Ireland Intermediate Club final for Mona Lean. He's only 20 years of age, but he's really, really stepping up into a top forward, and he's another. Jim Gavin used to always talk about bringing in one lad or bringing in a fresh face every year, and Donnacha O'Dalig seems to be this man for Limerick. 5 points of play yesterday, and he's a deadly hurler. So Yeah, and the other big game, Laois kind of have a knack of in the last few years of beating Antrim when it really came down to it in these, whether it was a promotion game or relegation playoffs and so on. But Antrim turned the tables in Belfast this time. Antrim had been going better in the league. They've been running teams closer. Laois are struggling. And Antrim got the three goals. They had the Dunloy boys back. Nigel Elliott, Conal Cunning got the goals. And Neil McManus got another. So that was a big win for Antrim. And another hurling weekend passes. This time, thankfully, it was a bit better. And I suppose the big boys are probably separating from the rest now. The semi-finals are coming a bit clear. But thankfully, the championship is coming up soon. And we'll be into the serious stuff then, Lee.
Yeah, absolutely. And well done to you for keeping up with me in the old hurling chat. I know it can't be easy. Thanks again to Darren for earlier in the podcast. And we'll see you all again next week. Although keep an eye out for Thursday, because we'll have an extra podcast where I'll be interviewing a current county star. That's as much teasing as I'll give you. Thank you.